Over 10,000 physicians and medical scientists have signed the Rome Declaration, asserting the preeminence of their Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. Over 500 members of the Canadian COVID Care Alliance, comprised of physicians, research scientists, including virologists, vaccinologists, and immunologists, signed the Canadian COVID Care Alliance Declaration on September 24th. Meanwhile, CTV News publishes one of the most infuriating articles of the season, where bioethicist Verdit Razinski, who teaches at the University of Montreal, says that those who are able to be vaccinated but choose not to do so are drunk driving. I'm Michael Thiessen with Tim Tyso, and this is Liberty Dispatch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we may be approaching a fateful hour.
Bonhoeffer spoke by radio to a national audience. He delivered one of the first public criticisms of the new chancellor.
Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Welcome to Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. Thanks for joining us on the show today. It's good to be back. Mike, lots to talk about in your intro there. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you are new to the show, we would love to invite you to subscribe. You can subscribe to our channel on Rumble at the Liberty Coalition Canada. Lots of subscribers there. Thanks for doing that. If you are listening on podcast, would you consider subscribing or following there? And don't forget to give us a 5-star review, which I'm sure we've earned in every sense of the word, haven't we, Mike? But we do appreciate that. And at least Mike has, and I'm along for the ride. But we do appreciate your support and sharing these and discussing these with your friends. We've seen just great support for the show. So we appreciate that.
Maybe we've received a 5-star rating if people were playing Pin the Dail on the donkey. We definitely get five pins for that.
Five donkeys. Now, hang on. If you would like, and you can, would you consider becoming a financial supporter of the Liberty Coalition Canada at libertycoalitioncanada.com? Go to the donate tab and consider partnering with us financially and help this institution become a lasting one in Canada for freedom. Mike, off the top there, you mentioned the Rome Declaration. Over 10,000 physicians and medical scientists have signed a declaration asserting the preeminence of their Hippocratic Oath, which is first, do no harm. This came out of the European epicenter of the COVID panic, which would be Italy. You all remember the videos and the media reports coming out of Italy early on in the COVID pandemic, which in many ways set the bar for our response in this. So coming out of Italy, this Italian summit identifies a major medical crisis that's surrounding the COVID response. They call it an unprecedented assault on our ability to care for our patients. They say that a one-size-fits-all approach violates the foundational, individualized, and personalized approach to patient care. They go on to say that those who are working on the front lines are often the first to identify life-saving treatment, and these are being discouraged or punished for sharing these discoveries, which endangers not only the essence of the medical profession, but worse, the lives of our patients. And then last, barriers and restrictions placed on physicians by health agencies, hospital boards, or other associations, which, by the way, are all non-frontline entities, are preventing physicians from treating and saving many infected patients.
So, Tim, I remember hearing some of these rumblings from Dr. Peter McCullough. I remember him.
That's right.
Kind of sounding the alarm early on, saying to us, look, we're the ones on the front line. We practice medicine, and therefore, this is what we're learning. So this comes to us with no shock that these frontline physicians and medical scientists are frustrated that they're being silenced. But again, for our general Canadian culture, I think this would come as a complete shock. If I could get 100 people who are completely bought into everything that the government has done, I think they'd be shocked to go, wait a minute, there's frontline doctors and nurses and medical scientists disagreeing and
right.
and being silenced. So this comes to no shock to us, as no shock to us, but it's certainly another, I think the reason for this declaration and its timing is because the silencing of these physicians and medical sciences, medical scientists continue.
Yeah, and it's a serious thing. And again, we, you know, in Canada, we've got this trust the experts thing resounding off the walls. It's trust the experts, trust the science, trust the science. And yet we're ignoring the fact that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands across the world in various medical professions and disciplines have sounded the alarm saying this is not science. And in fact, not only is it not scientific, but it's anti-health. It's not just that we're violating science, it's that we're putting people at risk. We're actually threatening their health and their well-being. And so because of these threats, they, just to summarize the declaration, it's a short declaration. We'll post this in the show notes under the Rumble page. And just so you can go look at this, this declaration resolves that patient-doctor relationships must be restored. This is at the heart of medicine, allowing a doctor to understand the needs and conditions of his or her patient, the person that's in front of them. So doctor-patient relationships must be restored. Two, that political intrusion into public medicine must end. Physicians must be able to practice the art and science of medicine without fear of retribution, censorship, discipline, or interference from governmental entities. That's important there that they actually use the phrase art and science, which is a beautiful recognition of how public medicine works, how a doctor's discipline actually works. When they interact with a patient and when they explore possible causes and sources of maladies or infirmities, and to work through to creative and very uniquely tailored solutions as well. So there is an art and a science in healing that these physicians feel like has been crushed from top-down sort of government political intrusion.
I think the word art also just evokes the notion that there is a level of interpretation here. There is a level of, I'm looking at the painting on your wall. I'm looking at the painting on my wall. Someone might say those are fantastic, brilliant works of art. Other people may not completely appreciate them. The art of the medical world is people understanding what they want for themselves. And so they may interpret some advice and reject it. So that's kind of the art
right.
as well. Okay, that's keep us right. moving. No, you're a doing point. A great job here, Tim.
Stop and listen to this. Physicians must not be prevented from prescribing life-saving treatment, the likes of which is causing unnecessary illness and death. This is unbelievable that doctors have to declare this, that overhead institutions and associations and health agencies are preventing and prohibiting the prescribing of life-saving treatment. We can go back, and we don't have time on this show today, but talk about ivermectin, talk about hydroxychloroquine that have been proven, along with zinc and vitamin D, proven to mitigate the early symptoms of COVID-19. Whereas a lot of what these doctors are saying in the declaration is that patients would come in and doctors would be forced to send them home so that the virus can multiply and then come back when they essentially can't breathe, which is why so many end up in the ICU or on ventilators, because no early treatment was given. None. When we know that there are effective, early, safe treatments against COVID-19, these doctors are saying, get out of our way and let us treat our patients. Lastly, scientists who are skilled in biomedical work must be allowed to conduct and publish research without fear of reprisal. Friends, when you have the government and political agencies interfering with and silencing medical research, you know that you're in a dark, dark place, especially here in the West, where medicine should be free. We've talked before on this show about how the different spheres should be allowed to practice their art and their science, as long as it's legal, within the bounds of legality, freely, that they should be allowed to raise their own money, do their own research, and along moral lines, along what is right, and be able to share that with the public. That's how a free market works. That's how a free West works. And so to summarize, what they're saying in this declaration is that individualized care has been destroyed, which has, and we're going to talk about this later in the episode, which has left the door open for mass coercion, pressure, and threats to participate in essentially non-consensual medical treatment. So this is yet another, this is not the straw that may break the camel's back, but this is yet another physician-driven declaration saying we have gone off the medical rails globally in treating COVID-19. And that's something that we want to signal relay that, and we want to draw attention to that. And have you ask your friends, how medical is the approach? How have you talked to your doctor about the approach to COVID-19? And I think if it's anything reflecting in this declaration, the answer is probably no. Most of us have not.
The progression of our podcast moves from this broader declaration that would be, I think it would be larger. I think it was signed in Rome, but it's got a pretty significant following already. It reminds me of the Great Barrington Declaration that had a number of very simple statements followed by good information about the situation that was on the ground at the time. So I remember reading the Great Barrington Declaration. I remember reading things about masking and information about masking in that declaration. That first declaration that we've mentioned now, the Rome Declaration, is just one that came out recently. Apparently, we're in a time where many people are thinking that, again, these declarations are needed. So for Canada, over 500 members of the Canadian COVID Care Alliance, which is comprised of physicians, research scientists, including virologists, vaccinologists, and immunologists, signed the Canadian COVID Care Alliance Declaration on September 24th. And so, Tim, I'm going to do a lot of reading right now, because this Canadian declaration seems to me to be far more in depth than the Rome Declaration. And so they go into a lot of stuff, and I just want to read directly from their introduction and their executive summary. But if you were to go, again, we are going to include this in the links of the video in the Rumble feed. If you were to go and you were to read this, this is, I'm scrolling down. This is a 27-page declaration. Nope, I stand corrected. It is a 31-page declaration. And so they've gone with some simple statements at the beginning and an introduction to right into very in-depth research. So we represent over 500 members of the Canadian COVID Care Alliance who have serious concerns with respect to the management of the COVID-19 pandemic in this country. We are offering our assistance and have prepared this document to provide government, policymakers, and other relevant stakeholders with the resource summarizing the most up-to-date scientific data, as well as legal and bioethical considerations that should be at the forefront of decision-making going on.
So they're not just tweeting off some kind of angry rain here. What you're saying is these are professionals who know what they're talking about, and they're trying to guide policy. Let's just put that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. They go on to say, mortality data from Statistics Canada demonstrates that we are no longer in a pandemic. Early modeling warned of alarming high rate of deaths across the country as a result of SARS-CoV-2 infection. But 18 months later, this has not come to pass. It has been shown by real-world data that the model presented by Neil Ferguson at Imperial College London was fundamentally flawed from the outset and has been proven widely inaccurate across the world, despite its projections acting as the basis for the reactionary lockstep response for most governments. I can't even believe that we're still going back to Neil Ferguson, but those initial warnings were so pathetic and so over the top.
Yeah. And we looked at that in our episode on the Simon Fraser study that looked at the cost-benefit analysis. We looked at the flawed modeling. And again, they are still carting out these models. I heard that we would be up to 15,000 cases this flu season. We've never even hit more than, the maximum was a 4,500 or something in Ontario. And they will not relent in rolling these models out in order to distort public perception of the pandemic. So yeah, we have to keep saying it apparently.
Okay, so the declaration continues to go on. In Canada, as of September 20th, 2021, 79% of eligible Canadians aged 12 and over are fully vaccinated with the advised two-dose regime of mRNA or DNA injections. Today, virtually all Canadians intending to receive vaccination have already done so, making the continued nationwide vaccination campaign redundant and overbearing with no reasonable expectation of benefit to public health. This is in addition to compelling evidence demonstrating waning efficacy of the vaccine products, especially when compared to protection offered by natural immunity, which we now know to be robust and long-lasting. This is the ideal time to reassess the government's Public Health Agency of Canada's and the Health Canada's recommendations for protecting public health and moving out of the pandemic response, as is being done in many other countries around the world. So listen, they go on to talk about the other countries. So countries such as Sweden, Denmark, and the UK are almost fully open. Fully open, people. Not to mention our neighbors to the south, the United States, fully open. As of September 8th, 2021, Denmark's and the UK's vaccination rates for those individuals who are eligible and have received two doses were 73.6% and 64%. So you can see in there how low those rates are comparatively to Canadian rates. Respectively, according to, they go on to Our World in Data vaccinations, as of September 3rd, 2021, Sweden's double vaccination rates was 57.9%. The UK is able to cope with the current Delta infections and its hospitalizations have been considerably much lower than the previous waves. In comparison, as of September 20th, 21, Canada's fully vaccinated rate is 79%, a double vaccination rate which is on par or exceeds, I would add, these countries. Further reduction in Canada's hospitalizations can be readily achieved by greater utilization of awareness of every treatment protocol. We therefore strongly object to the unfounded fear-based messaging of the Canadian that the Canadian public is being targeted by. Let me just finish up with this. I know this has been long reading quotations, but this is important. So it goes on to say Denmark's health minister, Magnus Heunicke, recently announced the epidemic is under control. We have record high vaccination rates. He also stated that starting in September 10th, we can drop some of the special rules we had to introduce in the fight against COVID-19. In fact, all restrictions for COVID-19, including the Corona Pass, were dropped on that date in Denmark. And the UK has similarly followed suit. Meanwhile, the Swedish government has kept society relatively open and has only maintained limited but rather fixed non-pharmaceutical interventions throughout the pandemic. So introduction is pandemic according to Canada data is over. Pandemic according to Denmark, UK, Sweden, and I'll add the US is manageable and over. And we continue to be at this incredible pace pushing for vaccines. Now, Tim, if you'll just let me finish this one area, I'll read the executive summary because this is kind of the equivalent to the section on the resolves of the Rome Declaration. So instead of saying this resolves that, this is the executive summary and these are their instructions. Number one, revoke the declarations of emergency, Emergency Management and Civil Protection Act, and Emergency Programs Act or any similar act. Two, develop effective national outpatient treatment guidelines based on the most up-to-date evidence, instruct PHAC to inform and educate physicians and the general about the importance of prophylaxis and early treatment of COVID-19. The government should ensure the necessary supply of repurposed medications and prophylactic agents. Number three, pause the current COVID-19 vaccination program pending full evaluation of impacts and benefits. Halt the vaccine passport program and do not permit any company, agency, or organization to unlawfully mandate COVID-19 vaccinations. Five, do not permit any infringement on medical privacy by governments or businesses and end all coercive measures limiting freedom of individual medical choice. Do not permit any infringement on the ability to move freely both within and between provinces as well as internationally leaving or entering Canada. Seven, do not impose any future lockdowns or quarantines of healthy individuals in view of the enormous destabilizing impacts on the economy, mental health, and society at large. The government should focus their attention on funding to help those who feel vulnerable if they so choose to accept the government's assistance. Number eight, recognize physicians and researchers of diverse opinions and essential stakeholders to, one, engage in open and public forum to discuss early treatment options, two, to pursue participate in the COVID-19 planning and implementation teams, and that's it.
So my first question is a broad one. Yeah, that's exceptional. And I love this came out of Canada. That makes me proud. Here, my first question most broadly is, where are the declarations with 500, 5,000, 10,000 doctors in support of the current measures? Because people automatically hear this and think, well, 500 doctors, that's not very many. But I would ask our listeners and for you to ask your friends, if you present this to them, where are the collective declarations of all these scientists in Canada in support of the vaccination passport, in support of ongoing lockdowns, in support of coercion and all this? You don't have it. You know what you have? You have bureaucrats, health agencies, health units, and politicians in support of their own measures. You do not have any of these collective declarations saying this is the right way to go medically.
And not only do you have bureaucrats, politicians, and officials, like regulatory bodies, in agreements with their policies, but you also have the active silencing. So remember, again, as it stands, the College of Physicians and Surgeons, the College of Nursing, there are active statements saying that it is worthy of investigation if someone questions the regime. And this is a really important point, Tim, because just this week, I had a lovely woman on Facebook saying to me, I've listened to all of Mr. Thiessen's podcasts on this point for the 15 physicians that he's interviewed. There are thousands upon billions upon millions of doctors who oppose him. And the question is, well, where are they?
So, how do you know?
And the COVID Care Alliance has asked for an open public forum discussion. And that's really all we've been asking for from day one. Again, right. If people want to pursue certain health measures for their own safety, we respect that. These physicians are asking for all in both declarations, Tim. Like it's all they're different wording, but man, early treatment, get the government out and let us practice medicine, and open discussion. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, you're right. And coming off this report, if we allow this kind of one-sided narrative to persist, we are going to see more and more public discourse and articles like the one we're about to share coming out into the public sort of cultural melee. This is from Global News. Rachel Gilmore writing for Global. You mentioned CTV. They might have been cross-shared, but here we come at it from Global. writing and quoting bioethicist Vardit Ravitsky, who teaches at the Montreal University, says that those who are not getting vaccinated but able to do so are not just driving without a seatbelt, but they are driving drunk. Quote, the vaccines are really effective, but they're most effective when you're surrounded by vaccinated people. I can't not chuckle, help but chuckle, says Dr. Matthew Miller, assistant dean at McMaster University's Department of Biochemistry and Biomedical Sciences. If you introduce an unvaccinated person who might be infected into that group, then everyone's at risk of a breakthrough infection.
You got to comment on two things here. So the article goes on to say, well, breakthrough cases among the vaccinated are rare. They do happen. There's a few things that I just want to bring up here. So this comment from David Miller, Matthew Miller. Think about how we normally treat a vaccine. Byron Bridle mentioned this in our last podcast, Tim. Typically, if I have to go to a country and that country has a local issue where it requires me a vaccine, like yellow fever or like any other issue, then I get that vaccine. And then because I've been vaccinated, I happily get in the car or jump on the plane and go to the place where the sickness is an issue. And in this case, again, why would anybody get vaccinated if you have to be around vaccinated people to stay safe because unvaccinated people are dangerous to you? It's ludicrous. Well, and this is nonsensical again, because we get vaccinated to protect us against an outside virus. We don't get vaccinated so that we're not protected and we still have to live in fear, so much so that we don't invite grandma to dinner or we make her do a PCR test in order to come to dinner.
This reminds us of the bait and switch, because when the vaccines were being rolled out, they talked about it as herd immunity. They talked about it as getting the herd towards immunity such that we could get back to normal. And this is the great bait and switch that many of you have missed. You were not told when you got your vaccine that 90% or 99% of the population had to have it so that you could be safe. You received that shot assuming and believing that you were protected. And subtly along the way, in order to maintain this narrative of coercion, suddenly it's, well, but if you have unvaccinated people over, they pose a risk to you that is unnecessary. And the ethical thing to do is to exclude them from your family gatherings.
Okay, so again, I really encourage people to go to listen to the video that we just put out on the weekend. It's already had over 16,000 views, I think. It's really getting up there. But Dr. Bridle spends a half an hour on this. But he spends a half an hour on this point, Tim. And you and I need to hammer in on the ethics side of part. I want to read the rest of the article. So the article goes on to say, having that awkward conversation with your unvaccinated relative or friend is actually the most ethical thing you can do. And it goes on to, again, talk about what this bioethicist from Dr. Ravitsky from the University of Montreal. And this bioethicist goes on to say that people who aren't vaccinated are drunk driving. Not being vaccinated is drunk driving. You are actually risking others. And then she goes on to say, usually our human rights and freedoms are the main consideration in our society, but we are living in a very particular point in time, she said. But in order to get out of it and get back to respect for human rights, your liberty to choose what to do, you need the vaccine. She also then goes on to say the best way to start these conversations is through empathy and respect. You are a drunk driver. Now you got to think in your mind about what type, like when people think drunk driver, they think, I just saw a MAD commercial, Mothers Against Drunk Driving commercial. They think absolute villain. They think absolute irresponsible. They think someone who should be in jail. But Tim, the way that you have an empathetic conversation with a drunk driver after they've been drunk is empathy and respect. Oh, wait a minute. No, you're not talking to a drunk driver. You're just talking to a person who's like walking down the street and you're treating them like that. Yep, that's the way you start the conversation. Before you accuse them of drunk driving, start with empathy and respect.
There's so much to this. She says, what does she say? She says, you know, normally we are interested in human rights and personal choice, but we're at such a time that we cannot depend on those. We cannot invest in human rights. We cannot respect that right now. We're at such a place in time that to get out of it and to get back to respect for human rights, she's admitting that this approach bears no respect for human rights. It bears no respect on your liberty to choose what you will do medically.
To get back to human rights, we have to violate your human rights.
Folks, these are people you do not trust. You do not trust people like this. In order to get back to respect for human rights, you need to do this first. And I promise you, once you obey here, then we'll give back your human rights. I call bull roar. No way do they get back to human rights after this. Once they get you submitting, you think it's a one-time thing. You think it's just this once. I'll do my part and then we'll be gone. No, Israel's already saying that your double vaccination status is no longer sufficient. And folks, one of the reasons for this bait and switch is because back when you got your shot, they didn't have data showing that it doesn't prevent transmission. So now they've got to flip the script and say it's the unvaccinated people's fault that you're at risk. And these people, these so-called bioethicists, are cramming down this fascist, totalitarian garbage, and we are giving them airtime. Rachel Gilmore, take your article down. It's horrible. This is the kind of thinking that will destroy the fabric of the Democratic West. And that is a large statement, but listen to what she's saying. We'll get back to human rights once you submit. I don't think so.
And Tim, the point that you bring out is so important because of two reasons. Number one, as you said, we were sold on the vaccine that it protected, but there was no data to demonstrate whether it did or not.
Yep.
And now, secondly, not only is the data demonstrating, according to people like Canadian COVID Care Alliance, that the vaccine actually doesn't prevent you from getting the illness, because that is absolutely true. But it is also demonstrating that the vaccine itself, even if it is effective to reduce symptoms, it's not effective over a long-term situation. We have the president of Pfizer, or we have one of the lead researchers from Pfizer coming out and saying, you know, the vaccine wanes after 4 or 5 months. So again, it's a complete bait and switch, always a bait and switch. And now you have to get the booster to get just backed up to maybe you won't get such bad symptoms. But again, the entire public is being sold with this over-the-top language that the unvaccinated are putting people at risk.
Yeah, and I just want to quote Ravitsky again. It's absolutely reasonable, beyond reasonable. I think it's totally ethical. Okay, this person doesn't deserve to speak publicly. This is not ethical. Ravitsky said, I think the people who should worry about the ethical aspects of their decisions are those who choose not to be vaccinated. In other words, it's not you, it's them. This is the us-them dichotomy. This is absolutely damaging and destructive to our social fabric.
So let me just help our viewers understand. First of all, this is what we call an assertion. It is not an argument. So if someone says you shouldn't have your family over because the most ethical thing to do is to not have them, that's an assertion. It's not an argument. An argument has to go further to say because of A, B, C, D.
Right.
So this is an assertion that she never backs up. And furthermore, I just want to read the definition of ethics, or what it means to be ethical. To be ethical is relating to moral principles, a branch of knowledge dealing with that which is morally good and correct. So yeah. Everybody has to understand a philosophical and theological perversion that is happening in our country. And it is happening in the Christian community just as rapidly as it's happening in the secular community. And the perversion is that it is morally right and ethical to always, in every situation, have the ability of God himself to keep people safe. And if you can't prove that you are keeping people safe in every situation, you are now, here's the twist, you are now being morally, you're now being immoral, and you are now being irresponsible, and you are now being sinful. And so what we have taken is we've taken the transmission of a virus, and remember, we have a viral cycle every single year in this country. You can go and look at where it is, and you can watch the spikes up and down. Viruses are throughout the world, but instead of seeing the virus as it is, as a part of the curse, as a part of this broken world, individuals now are laid with the responsibility of perfect immunity all the time, or you're guilty. So guilty until proven innocent, and guilty even when innocent, just because you're can't prove your innocence in every situation.
Yeah. And the, and this fits perfectly in with, this is the kind of propaganda that we looked at last week in our episode. This kind of messaging is discipling you. This is behavior modification, working on you. If you're reading this and you're second guessing your invites to your next holiday, this is behavior modification, manipulating you and discipling you on what the new ethics are of this country. And for those of you who are Christians, maybe you'll recognize this. If you're not a Christian, this is how Mike and I would think of something like this. There's a specific verse that talks about eating with people and not eating with people. But here's the gist of it. It basically says, if you're a Christian and you have a Christian brother or sister who goes to church, they, you know, all this stuff, but they're living in open sin. In other words, they're being an open hypocrite. Do not eat with that person because they are violating what they claim to be true and right. But it goes on to say that as a Christian, you should not exclude people who are not of the church, who are not of Christ. In other words, Christians have freedom to dine with and have a beer with and whatever it is, in fellowship with people who are not in the church. We're not told to exclude people who don't believe what we believe. We're not told to exclude people who might be a sinner in public.
And this is why it's really important, because what you're doing, Tim, is you're trying to explain to people that where we would really break community is with somebody who is utterly immoral and a hypocrite.
Yes.
And damaging the community with their cancerous sin.
Yeah.
The danger that everybody needs to realize that is how now simply being a healthy person is being characterized in this country, that you
right.
are sinful.
And you're the cancer.
You have to return again to the proper definitions of sin in this country, or what mm-hmm. you are left with, which is a government and fools like Rachel Gilmore and these doctors that are so over the top in this situation, redefining sin to be transmitting a virus that is out in the environment. So this has been the danger. You and I actually, that's one of the reasons from day one that we were so concerned about what was going on, Tim. I remember conversations long before we were podcasting where you and I are saying, look, this is a new religion. It's a new definition of sin. It's a new solution. Yeah. And it's going to warp a Judeo-Christian Western worldview. And we mm-hmm. need to battle against this.
As vaccine passports are rolling out and everybody's ignoring all of the warnings of what they're doing to human rights and to people's job security and all of, and family division, is that as these things are going out, what the government is trying to do and what this public messaging is trying to do is trying to enlist you to participate in the same vaccination program. They want you to be just like an airline that says you can't come on without your vaccine. They want to enlist you to divide your own family based on vaccination status. And in the article, it talks about how it's a polarizing issue and all this stuff. It didn't have to be. Nobody had to polarize this issue. I know lots of people with lots of different medical approaches to life than me, and I've never had division between us. It's when you legalize segregation and discrimination that it becomes polarizing. So do not be enlisted. Do not let this kind of thing fester in your family. Sit down and have a loving conversation along the lines of what Mike and I just laid out. What is truly good? What is truly moral? What is truly ethical? And don't let these narrow-minded and pathological liars manipulate you out of what you know is right and good for your family. So that's where we want to encourage you with that, despite how discouraging this type of material can be. There is hope for you and your family.
Well, let's remember the two declarations. Yep. Folks, go read those declarations and find out great information that is far more respectful and, I think, informative, very, very exhaustively informative. With that being said, thanks for listening again as you journey through life and try to bring moral good into this country and think about constitutional rights. We pray Godspeed be on you.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.